Genesis chapter 25, and let's begin in verse 21. And Esau entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels, your belly. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came out his brother, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, he cooked a stew. And Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom, red. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day your birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And Esau swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now, in passing, before we get to our main subject this morning, I wanted to say a couple of things here in a practical way concerning this lesson. You always see little things in God's Word that's so practical in our daily lives. And as I was reading this, I noticed that the Scripture says there in verse 28 that Isaac loved Esau, and that Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, that doesn't mean that Isaac hated Jacob or that Rebekah hated Esau. This word here has to do with affections. Isaac had affection for Esau, but Rebekah's affection was drawn out towards Jacob. Now, we're told why. We're told why. Jacob had affection. He loved to be around. He loved to sit and talk with Esau. His heart went out after him more than it did to Jacob. Now, you might as well admit it. All of us might as well admit it. We don't like to admit it. But there are certain of our children. If we have two or three or four or five children, there are one or two of those children, though we love all of them, but there is that one or two that draws out our affection towards them more than the others. I asked Joe the other day. Layla came in, and she was sitting there, laying there on Joe's lap. And Joe was kissing her and hugging her, and she was just eating it up. And I said, "Why do you love that baby more than you do the rest of your grandkids?" Well, you know what she said. "I don't. I love them all." But she said, "This one lets me love on her. This one comes and sits in my lap. The rest of them don't like to do that so much." That's natural. That's natural. Esau would go out and hunt, and he would come in with his venison, and he cooked these stews, these savory meat. And one of the reasons he cooked it, because he knew his dad loved it. And he would take that stew and go down and where his dad's tent was, and they would sit and talk and laugh and discuss the ways that Esau had killed his deer. And they would laugh and enjoy each other's presence. His affection was drawn out to Esau. He was excited about hearing his tales of hunting his deer and how he shot it. Rebecca didn't care about hunting. When she saw Esau coming in with an old bloody deer across his shoulders, that was somewhat repulsive to her. But she lacked Jacob. Jacob was a domesticated fellow. He dwelt in tents. He was a homemaker. He was a romantic type. And she loved to go sit in his tent and talk with him about homemaking. He drew out her affection. And that's normal. We may not admit it, but that's normal. And you and I can learn something from that, can't we? Affections needs to be cultivated. If our children are going to cuss us as their parents, you children, you're going to talk back to your mom and dad? You're not going to respect them? You're going to stand in their face and say, I hate you? You're going to ignore them? You're not going to be kind and affectionate to them? They'll still love you. They're your parents. But don't be surprised if they cease to show affection for you. Don't the Lord do us that way? You just walk contrary to Him. You just don't abide in His love. You just not obey Him. And you'll see how He quits walking near you and manifesting Himself with you. He'll put the rod across your back. If we want to see His affection to us and understand and know more of His love to us, then walk near Him. Obey Him. It's that way between children and their parents. If you want your parents to be affectionate to you, then you obey them and you love them and you be affectionate to them. And that not only applies to parents and children, that applies to husbands and wives. Husbands, you want your wives to love you? Then be affectionate to them. Court them. Woo them. Tell them how beautiful they are. I can't tell you what I told my wife about her on the way to church this morning. It embarrassed me and her and you too. I flirt with my wife. I want her to be affectionate towards me. I want to draw out her affections. And it's the same way you wives with your husband. It's the same way with brothers and sisters in Christ. Affections are like a garden. You may have the seed sown there in it, and it may come up and grow, but it has to be cultivated, doesn't it? It has to keep the weeds plucked out of it. They have the old saying, keep the home fires burning. Keep the affections warm one to another. We're told why Jacob was loved of Rebekah. And we're told why Esau was loved of Isaac. Esau loved Isaac because he did eat of his venison. That's why his affections and all that went along with that. That's the first thing. But secondly is this, and there's something else here I want you to see, and it's a practical thing too. And it's also found here in verse 28. You and I don't have much trouble with this today, but there was a time when people thought it was a sin to eat meat. Just don't eat meat. We don't have much problem with this today. We do among some. Some have had their way. Would never eat another fish. Would never eat another cow or a piece of pork or chicken or anything else. We'd live off of vegetables if some people had their way. But notice what it says here in verse 28, that Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. Isaac was a child of promise. He was a child of God. He was a holy man, a man who lived by faith, and he was a meat eater. He loved meat. They loved to fix it savory, put all these different spices in it. He called it savory, and boy, he loved it. He loved it. Paul tells us about something that would come in the last days, and he says it like this in 1 Timothy chapter 4. He said, in the last days there would be some that would depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And then he mentions two of those doctrines. One, he says, forbidding to marry, and secondly, commanding to abstain from meat. Saying not only that you shouldn't eat meat, but it's wrong to eat meat, that it's a sin to eat meat. But Paul went on to say, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving in them that believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused when it's received with thanksgiving. For it's sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Bob brought us over, and he often does this. Sometimes when the preachers come up, Brother Bob brings me a bunch of meat, and he brought me these big, huge T-bones out of a buffalo. And he brought me some more meat. He brought me that, and I mixed it up, put that in the pressure cooker and mixed it up, put some pork loin in it that we'd fix, and poured in a whole bunch of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. I think that fed four families. You liked it, didn't you, T? I love meat. Some think you ought to bring them to the house, your pigs and your cows, I reckon your chickens, and sleep with them and everything else. I say eat them. Don't you be humane about it, but eat them. That's what the Lord says. He gave us these creatures to eat. They're not members of our family. There's some of them we ain't going to eat. I ain't going to eat a dog, ain't going to eat a cat. But there's some people that do. And I'm not going to judge them for it. Every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. It's sanctified, it's set apart by the Word of God. What does that mean, it's set apart by the Word of God? Well, it's this. Here's the way God's Word sets it apart. Every creature of God is good. He tells us it's good. And it's sanctified by the Word of God and prayer. We give thanks to the Lord for our food. I'm not one anymore for praying out in public over my food. I just can't concentrate. And maybe you can't either. Be thankful in your heart. Heathens don't thank the Lord. But when we thank Him, we recognize that it's Him that's give us our food. And we recognize if He don't give it to us, then we can't live and exist. Give us this day our daily bread. Two things I wanted to give to you before we go on to this. Now here in verse 29 and verse 34. Genesis chapter 25. Esau selling his birthright. And this birthright pertains to the firstborn. You remember as I read here to you that Esau was the firstborn of Isaac and Rebekah. He came out first. And to the firstborn son in the family was given the blessing. He was set aside to receive the blessing, the firstborn was. And you couldn't withhold that blessing from him. It belonged to the firstborn. He had special blessings that come with that, special privileges. And he always had preeminence in the family. Now I want to show you a couple of places concerning this. Look with me over in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Moses told here about a man that if he happened to have two wives, and sometimes these Jews did that. They had two wives, but in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 21, he says, if one wife is loved and the other wife is despised, and yet that wife who is despised, if she has the firstborn, then that man cannot withhold the blessing of that firstborn from him because he despised his wife. He had to give it to him. The firstborn was entitled to the blessing. Look what he said in verse 15. If a man have two wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, and if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn, because the son of the hated, which is indeed, instead of the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. See that? The firstborn had a right. He had a right to the blessing. Now look back over here. We have an example of this in Genesis chapter 27. And look at this in Genesis chapter 27. And begin here in Genesis chapter 27. Look here in verse 28. Now this is Isaac, and he's blessing Jacob. But if you remember the story, he thinks he's blessing Esau. But Jacob has dressed up like Esau and came in and has deceived his father so he can get the blessing. But I wanted you to see this in Genesis 27, verse 28. And here is what Isaac said to Jacob. Here is the blessing that belonged to the firstborn. Therefore God give of thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee. Let nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. Now there's the blessing that belongs to the firstborn. Of course, Esau didn't receive this blessing because he had sold his birthright. When it come time for him to be blessed, he was rejected, the scripture tells us, because he had sold his birthright for a bowl of stew to fill his empty belly. Now you remember the way it happened back over here in our text. I want you to read this and familiarize yourself with this at your leisure. But let me just remind you what happened. Esau came in from the field. He'd been hunting. He hadn't killed any venison. And he was weak, his belly was empty. He saw his brother Jacob, and he had this huge bowl of stew. It was a red stew. I don't know what all it had in it. It said lentils, probably vegetables and some kind of a meat. But it was red, and Esau said, "Feed me, for I'm faint." Well, Jacob said, "You sell me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of pottage. I'll give you a bowl of my soup." And Esau said, "What good is my birthright going to do me if I'm dead?" Well, he wasn't dead. He was only faint. And I cannot believe that Jacob would have let him starve. I know his mother and dad wouldn't have let him starve. But he was wanting to remove the guilt of selling his birthright. So he says, "I'm at the point of death. It's not going to do me any good." So Jacob said, "Swear to me." I tell you, he wanted to make sure that when he got this birthright, it was secure. So Esau swore to him, and the scripture says there, then that Jacob gave him this bowl of stew. And in verse 34, we're told that Esau sat down, he ate, and he filled his stomach, and then he got up. And without giving a second thought to what he had done, there was no remorse for what he had done. There was no second thought. There was no tears. There was no pleading. He just got up and went his way went on his merry way, and therefore the Holy Spirit says, thus he despised his birthright. He despised it. Not only that he had sold it so cheaply, but he had no remorse for it. And then when it comes time for the blessing that I read to you over there in the 27th chapter, Esau was rejected and instead Jacob was blessed. And why was Jacob blessed? He had the birthright. He had the birthright. It did not matter who had the birthright. If he had it, he was blessed. And when Esau came and said, bless me, Isaac said, I've already blessed somebody. Who was that I just blessed? Whoever he is, he's blessed. Because when you bless the firstborn, it couldn't be reversed. He was blessed indeed. But Jacob received it because he had the birthright. And Esau began to complain, and he told his dad, he said, my brother has deceived me 2 times. He supplanted me 2 times. He got my birthright, and now he's got my blessing. But he didn't deceive him, did he? Jacob did not deceive Esau. That was just an excuse that he made. His whole problem, brothers and sisters, was this. He had great regard for the blessing. He wanted the blessing. But who does the blessing belong to? Those who have the birthright. If you don't have the birthright, you cannot have the blessing. He despised his birthright, but he coveted the blessing. But you can't have the blessing without being the firstborn. And that's what we want to look at this morning. Jacob never deceived him. You'll notice the difference right off the bat in the passage that I read to you. The difference in Jacob's attitude towards this birthright as opposed to Esau. Did you notice the difference in their attitudes? From their birth, from their very birth, Jacob had his heart set upon this birthright. He valued it. He esteemed it. When his brother went out of the womb before he did, he got him by the heel and tried to pull him back in. I want out first. And it seemed like Jacob just laid wait. He thought of nothing else but how to obtain this birthright. And the first opportunity he got to secure it, he did it. He did it. But what was Esau's attitude? Well, he sold it. And for what? One morsel of meat. Just one meal to fill his hungry stomach. He had no regard. The scripture says he despised his birthright. And now when it comes to inheriting the blessing, and in Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that he was rejected. And he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. He said, Father, is there no blessing for me? Can't you bless me? Are you the firstborn? Not anymore. Then I can't bless you. I won't bless you. The blessing is for the firstborn. Now that's a good story in itself, ain't it? They were to make a movie about that. Hollywood could make millions and billions if they'd make some good movies, couldn't they? But within this true story lies some precious spiritual truths. And that's what we want to look at right quickly for a few minutes. And it's what these things represent. Now turn over here right quickly, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Esau selling his birthright and Jacob securing that birthright teaches us some spiritual truths, and we know that because this very thing is spoken of here in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12. And look here in verse 16. Paul talks about this. Look in verse 15 first. Looking diligently, he writes to these Hebrews. They were being tempted to leave Christ and hang on to these ceremonies and sacrifices that Brother Glenn read to us about this morning that Christ had fulfilled. Looking diligently, be careful, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest you come short of God's grace in Christ, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, and he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So it must have a spiritual application, this thing about the birthright. It deals primarily with the firstborn. And I want to say three things about this morning. This thing about the birthright that Esau sold, it has primarily to do with the firstborn. He did not inherit the blessing because he had sold his birthright. He was the firstborn and he sold it. Now, the birthright has to do first and foremost with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't everything have to do with him? Everywhere in the Word of God, this business about the firstborn teaches us of the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the Old as well as the New Testament is called the firstborn. Listen to Psalms 89 and verse 27. What the Father said to the Lord Jesus, His Son, I will make Him my firstborn, therefore higher than the kings of the earth. There we have the firstborn, and there we have the right that belongs to the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn of God, therefore He has the preeminence. That is, He's higher than the kings of the earth. He's the preeminent one. Christ is God's firstborn. He's called Mary's firstborn. He's called the firstborn of every creature. He's called the firstborn from the dead and the firstborn among many brethren. And because He's the firstborn, as I said, He has the right, the privilege that goes along with that. And what is that? Why, it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. He's given Him a name that's above every name. He's given Him all power. He's given Him a people. He's exalted Him far above all principalities and powers, put everything under His feet, and says, you're my Son, my firstborn, at my right hand. And everything you ask me, I'll give it to you. Everything your heart's desire is yours. You are my firstborn Son. And therefore God blessed him. God blessed him. And the Scripture says, in all things, He has the preeminence. So you and I can come here this morning and look at Esau despising his birthright. And it wasn't just his birthright per se that he despised. That wasn't what was so much and so great the sin of it. But what he despised was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jacob valued and esteemed being the firstborn. He saw Christ in it. Christ is the firstborn, the preeminent one. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews was writing to these Hebrews, these Jews, and warning them to be careful. Be diligent lest you fall short of this saving grace that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you hang on to these ceremonies and try to hang on to Christ. These ceremonies cannot save you. Christ is the sum and the substance of them. You must have Him. And if you try to hang on to them and Him too, what you're going to do is commit the same sin that Esau committed. You're going to despise your birthright. And what is it? That's Christ, the firstborn. And there's the sin of Esau. He despised the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who despise the Lord Jesus Christ will miss the blessing. They'll miss the blessing. You can't hate Him. You can't despise Him and have the blessing. The blessing is in Him, and it's by Him who is the firstborn. Secondly, not only does the firstborn represent to us the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the firstborn, but this firstborn also represents to us redemption. That is, those who are redeemed and the means by which they're redeemed. It represents to us the redeemed and the precious blood of the Lamb by which they're redeemed. Listen to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12 and 13. You remember this very well down in Egypt. When the Lord was going to pass through and destroy, you remember who He's going to kill? You remember who He's going to kill down in Egypt? The firstborn. Well, the firstborn. And here's what He says. I will pass through the land of Egypt, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses. Remember what He told them to do? You take the blood of that lamb and you put it over the doorpost and on the sides of the door. Don't put it on the threshold. Don't put that blood on the threshold. You can't walk on it. You put it on the doorpost and over the top of the door. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I will not smite you when I smite all the Egyptians. What was it that protected the Israelites? It was the blood. But who did it protect? We often say the blood wasn't shed for those Egyptians. But it wasn't shed for the Israelites either, except the firstborn. Ain't that right? The blood was shed to protect the firstborn. Nobody else needed it. It was the firstborn. The firstborn represents to us, therefore, all of those who are being redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What is the firstborn? That tells us about every man and woman and boy and girl who is being redeemed, who is being washed from their sin and their guilt before God. Every last soul that is washed in this blood, that's what the firstborn represents to us. And that's what Esau despised. He despised that redemption. He despised that blood. He says, I've got no use for that. I'd rather fill my hungry belly with a bowl of stew than to be concerned about this blood redemption. I don't want any part in it. That's what his sin really was. And you despise redemption in the blood of Christ. You won't have the blessing. That blessing is for the firstborn. I want to be one of them, don't you? I don't want to sell my birthright. I want to be a firstborn. I want to be a firstborn. Thirdly is this. The firstborn represents to us, and I love this, it represents to us the members of the heavenly church. It represents to us the members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know there's professing Christians who couldn't care less about the church and being members of it. They just don't care about it. They don't seemingly care about the fellowship of the saints and being among them. And though they profess to know the Lord, they could care less about whether they're members of that church or not. But you know something? There's no salvation outside the church. Now, I know that's what the Catholics say, and they're right about that. It's just not their church. It's the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church. There's no salvation apart from the Lord's church. Listen, who is it that the Lord loves? Is it not His church? Who was it that Christ gave Himself for? Was it not His church? Who is it that He's promised to sanctify them and cleanse them and present them to Himself? Is it not His church? Who is it that God gave His blood for? It's the church. There's no salvation apart from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're members of His body. I'm not talking about a Baptist denomination, Brother Larry, or a Presbyterian denomination, or a Nazarene denomination, but we're talking about the church. And here's what the Hebrew writer says about it. It's the general assembly and church of who? The firstborn. And their names aren't written on a roll by a secretary down here, but their names are written of God in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who belongs to this church? Every firstborn soul. And that's what He despised. I don't want to be among God's people. I don't want to be numbered with them. I don't care if my name's on that heavenly roll. And therefore He sold His birthright. And when it come time for the blessing, He didn't have it. Jacob had it. I told a fellow one time, I said, it's wrong to say there's salvation outside the church. And it is wrong to say that, ain't it? There's no salvation outside the church. Billy Graham believes there is. Robert Schuller believes there is. But there's no salvation outside the body of Christ. And that's what the church is. It's the body of Christ. I want to be identified with the Lord's people, don't you?
Yes.
I do. If you're in this church, you're like Jacob of old. Boy, you esteem that privilege. You esteem that privilege. He did too, boy. He esteemed it. That's why he got a hold of that heel. Tried to pull him back in. Any way I can, by any lawful means I can, I'm going to get this privilege. I'm going to secure this birthright to myself. Why? Because with that birthright comes the blessing. And these things are meant, brothers and sisters, to instruct you and I in these spiritual matters. Because it was told Rebecca, there's two manner of people in your womb. There's two nations in you. One people is this. They esteem this birthright. They esteem it so highly, they count it more worth than their necessary food. They'll do anything to secure it and keep it. They love it. They value it. And there's that other people that'll sell it for nothing. They'll sell it for nothing. You value your birthright. You value that. If you can't have that, you can't have the blessing. It represents to us the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is the firstborn. It represents to us that redeeming blood that comes from His veins. It represents to us members of His body, the church. Those who have been called out. Those who have been brought into Christ's body by new birth. Those who have faith and repentance granted to them. Those who cleave to Christ and follow Him. Members of His body, of His church. I want to be a firstborn. Brothers and sisters, I tell you, I don't want to sell that, do you? You say, Bruce, you mean a man can sell his birthright? Well, in this sense, the Scripture says Esau sold his. And Paul, or the writer, was warning these Hebrews, don't you be an Esau. Don't you be an Esau. Don't you be an Esau. And afterwards, we're told, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, though he sought it carefully with tears. This is one of the most fearful things I can think about. I think, to my own hurt, I know one or two people, I'm acquainted with them, who have sold their birthright. And they seem to know it. And that's one of the most heartbreaking things. You know what happens to a person who has sold their birthright? I'll tell you what happened to Esau when he sold his. The Scriptures calls him then a profane person. You see a change in his life when he sold his birthright, went off into fornication, married several wives, had little or no respect for his mom or dad. He became an open and profane person. And there are some people who have made a profession of Christ, and they went back out into their sins, and in this sense they sold their birthright. They traded Christ for a little lust, a little worldly pleasure, or something else. And then they begin to see what they've done. I know one person I've talked to, I don't know how many times, and I'm beginning to fear that he's committed this awful, awful sin. And he's loaded with guilt. He's loaded with guilt. And you talk to him about the preciousness of Christ and Christ's willingness to receive and forgive, and he's got no interest in that. He just lives with this certain fearful looking for of judgment. And I don't care what promises I give to him, he just shrugs them off. That's what happens to people who have sold their birthright. They either go off into open and profane sins, or they die in utter despair. Ain't that an awful sin if a person commits it? The Lord Jesus told the Jews, and that's what they did. They sold their birthrights. He was talking to them one day, and he said, "How often I would have taken you under my wings as a chicken does her brood, and you would not. And you would not. I would have, and you would not." And remember what he said to him? "But now, it's time for you to receive the blessing, but you ain't going to receive it. Why? You sold your birthright." And on the day of judgment, he said there would be many that would stand there before him on the day of judgment. And he said, "You'll see Abraham, you'll see Isaac, and you'll see old Jacob there in the kingdom of God. And there's going to be men and women come from the north and south and east and west, and they're going to sit down with those three people in the kingdom of God. And there's going to be others standing outside saying, 'Lord, open to us, open to us.'" And he said, "Who are you? I have no idea who you are. And you're going to start bragging about your works. We've done many wonderful works in your name. We've cast out devils. We've preached in your name. We've done all these things." And he said, "I don't know you. I don't know you." And remember what the Scripture said they did? They did the same thing Esau did. They began to weep and knock hard. "Lord, open to us. Lord, open to us." What did they want? They wanted the blessing. Everybody wants the blessing, don't they? "I want to go to heaven," don't you? Everybody does. But you can't go to heaven apart from a new birth. You can't go to heaven apart from union with that firstborn Son of God. You can't go to heaven without being redeemed. You can't go to heaven without your names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. "Well, I'm just going to wait around and mess around, and I'll inherit the blessing at last." All right. All right. But there must be something to this warning that's given. Be careful you don't sell your birthright. Covet that thing with all your heart. Don't sell that for this world and a little lust and temporal pleasure or whatever else it is. Value that like Jacob valued it. Get it at all cost and don't let it go. God bless His Word. Let's pray.